Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's Buckle Movie Club.
And welcome to Puckle Movie Club. I'm your host, Ethan, here today with my co-hosts,
Professor Snag
and Hex Maniac Locke.
And we're here today to talk about Pokemon Movie 9, Pokemon Ranger and the Temple of the Sea. This movie came out in 2007, pretty decent year if I say so myself. I was at the height of my not watching or consuming any Pokemon content in this year. And from how things turned out when I was watching it, maybe that was the right idea. What were you guys up to in 2007?
2007, let's see, I was getting married, and I was actually just getting back, I shouldn't say just getting back into Pokemon, but that was like around the Diamond and Pearl range, and I remember starting Diamond just a little bit late, so.
So, pretty big year for you. What about you, Locke?
I was in college, and I think that was right around the time I got a DS and started playing, because it wouldn't have been out yet, would it? Fourth gen.
It wasn't a fourth gen 2006?
It might have been.
I think DP was 2006, yo.
Okay, then I was probably playing DP.
All right, sweet. So, who knows?
I don't remember 2007 that well. I was in college.
I don't remember 2007 that well. I was like a baby. So,
you know, who knows this answer? The internet.
Yes. I mean, we should ask the internet what I was doing in 2007.
It was out in 2007 because that's when Puckle started. Hashtag Puckle history.
Yeah. So this is a very significant year then, it turns out.
That's true. Yes.
That's the year everything changed. Anyways, let's get into the movie just right away here. So, movie opens with perhaps the most wishy-washy narrator in movie history. He's talking about how you can be friends with Pokemon, but sometimes you also battle them, and, you know, you're having a good adventure with them, but sometimes you have bummer adventures. It's really weird. He's contradicting himself, or not contradicting himself, but just... He won't commit to anything. He won't commit to Pokemon training being fun, which I think is odd. I don't know. The narrator stuck out to me in this one for some reason. So, movie opens, bad CGI helicopters in the very first shot of the actual movie. So, we're off to some good stuff. These helicopters come back throughout the movie, and each time I'm just more and more impressed with how bad they look for 2007.
I didn't really notice it later in the movie, but I agree. Like, I have it in my notes here. The CGI helicopters suck. It's not even close to the same style as everything else in the movie.
It looks like they ripped it out of like a PlayStation 2 game or something. Looks like
everywhere.
Yeah, there's a couple dozen of them. It's just it's really rough. So right off the bat, we get horrible CGI helicopters and pirates in the first 5 minutes. So I think we're just officially in crazy territory here. There's a showdown going on between this pirate captain and and a Pokemon Ranger, or who we come to learn as a Pokemon Ranger later on, Jack Walker.
And a real American hero!
Thank you. Thank you. He needs his introduction. Jack Walker has a very, very manly voice, but he's trapped in the body of a child, it seems. Like, homie looks like a Digimon protagonist or something. Like, it's just... his fashion looks ridiculous, but he's supposed to be an adult, and he's very clearly voiced by, like, a 40-year-old man, and it's really disconcerting. It's just I can't imagine he sounds like that in the Japanese version. I didn't go... We should... Let's just get this out of the way right now. This dub is rough. It's rough. And I strongly considered, like, watching the Japanese version instead, but it's like, I need the full effect. This is actually the first dub done by the new studio, I believe. Anyways, Jack Walker, showdown with Pirate King, or Captain Phantom is the name of the pirate captain, and he's just a character.
And he is totally not Team Aqua.
Totally.
In fact, remember, lads, there are two types of men in the world. Those who are on Team Aqua and those who aren't.
Yes. One of my first notes is that this is a horrible, horrible Team Aqua knockoff. And it's like they forgot that those games came out like 4 years prior. The logo is almost identical. They use similar colors. They have like a similar aesthetic of just being pirates. I don't know what they were going for. They could have just used Team Aqua. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's I don't know why they went with that decision. I mean, obviously the focus of this movie is Manaphy, and Team Aqua is all about Kyogre. So I don't know.
But Kyogre shows up later on.
Yes, it does.
Anyways, so.
Can we mention really quickly that this Phantom team or whatever, they have the dopiest grunts imaginable?
Yes.
It's like the Three Stooges when they're around.
So Jack Walker... I feel like I'm doing a poor job of describing what happens. Jack Walker is pretending to be a
real
pirate.
American hero!
Jack Walker, a real American hero, is pretending to be one of Captain Phantom's goons to get close to this treasure that they're trying to steal, Captain Phantom wants. And so he reveals himself to be a Pokemon Ranger, and then horrible James Bond ripoff OST music plays. It was
fantastic.
Sounds like it was knocked out in 5 minutes in FL Studio or something, or Ableton, just some crappy, you know, computer-based music recording software. And so Jack Walker recovers the treasure or whatever it is. It's a glowing orb with a kind of looks like an egg, perhaps, maybe an egg. So he recovers it, and the entire time he has this horrible banter going with his handler back at his station, I guess.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like his Money Penny type character,
but they,
and it's just bad.
They're never in the same room. all their banter happens over the radio, and just none of the jokes land. This was my first sign that something was off in terms of the dub. And it's just, I think the translation is so poor in this one. Or not the translation, but just the way they attempted to adapt it was just, it was all off. So he makes reference to not knowing the meaning of fear, right? Or something. He doesn't know the meaning of the word whatever. Like, he just says he doesn't know the meaning of the word. And then his handler asks if he wants to use her dictionary. And, you know, that's its own joke, and it falls flat. But then the pirate later, or the Captain Phantom also references needing to use his dictionary as if he heard what the handler said? But that makes absolutely no sense.
It's either that or they're the same person!
Oh my, that'd be a great twist.
It would be.
So Jack Walker makes his escape into the horrible CGI ocean on the back of a Mantine, which is kind of cool. It's kind of cool that he just calls upon a Mantine for assistance, as a ranger does.
Yes, but they used this moment to demonstrate the awful capture mechanic and how long it takes. Meanwhile, if this was any other world, he would have been shot.
Right. So yeah, he makes his way into the ocean on the back of a Mantine, and then we get a horrible opening credit sequence with explosions and lava and just a bunch of disjointed images that don't appear in the movie at all. It doesn't seem to have... I think it was probably made for the English dub, and it just doesn't have any relation to the movie. It's quite disconcerting. So yeah, that was the prelude or whatever. And then we get to the main storyline, and Ash and Co. are in the desert... or should I say Ash and Co. imposters are in the desert, because these are not the voices I know and love. Everything just sounds wrong immediately. Ash sounds wrong. He sounds way too husky, again, because they have new voice actors, because it's a new dub studio. Brock just... He sounds like a Brock impersonator who's just not quite there.
Brock is particularly awful.
At least May and Max sound right, so that's good. I'm glad Max still sounds the same. They're in the desert and they're thirsty, and they're like talking about how thirsty they are and how oppressive the heat of the desert is, and they see something off in the distance and they think it's water, and it is, and it's a traveling Pokemon show. It's like a SeaWorld type thing, like a trained Pokemon to do tricks and stuff.
Yeah. Which, and we find out in a moment that Brock knows these nomads. It's them. They're called the Marina Group.
Yes, these transient beings known as the Marina Group, and he fanboys out about them, specifically Elizabeth, who is the star of the show, and he has a creepy stalker journal of her with photos of her in it. Like, this came out of nowhere that Brock is the fan.
I'm your number one fan!
But like, it's even worse because of the new voice, because the charm's just not there, and it comes across as just completely wrong. They meet the traveling people, and the budget just evaporates. It evaporates immediately. Like, you can just tell that this is cheaper and poor, like... just poorly animated, and characters will kind of be off model sometimes. You meet Elizabeth's entire family. So there's her mom, who doesn't do anything the entire movie, really. I'll get into that later.
Except smacks May pretty hard one time.
Right. So mom doesn't really do anything in terms of the narrative. Elizabeth doesn't actually do anything really either, except for like, I know about this thing, whatever.
She's the dictionary.
Right. Then there is Kyle, who is the father, who is my favorite character because he's got a voice.
Oh god.
I'm probably gonna have to bleep that out, but it's worth it because hey, sounds like this. He talks like this. And it sounds like his voice is recorded in a different studio or something, because this is just a... it's his audio, like his dialogue is way cracklier. It's odd.
His voice is it's very ASMR.
Oh no. we gotta go help Ash. He's a monster. I don't like Kyle at all. Like every time he talks, it just caught me off guard. I was who made these decisions? Why do these people sound like this? Everything's so wrong. Oh, God. The dub's bad. I'm going to keep reiterating this. So they have this artifact, this treasure from the beginning, just laying around their tour bus, which it's like apparently some sort of rare, you know, valuable artifact, and it's just sitting on a shelf out in the open.
It looks like a top bunk. And this at this moment, we actually get to see one of my favorite Gen 4 Pokemon that's completely useless, Buizel.
Yeah, and I mean, it could have been any other Pokemon. So, you know, but at least they gave him something to do. Yeah, it is
mildly concealed, because it is on a top bunk, and it's supposed to be behind a curtain, but that Buizel is very, very curious.
Later on in the movie... they put it in this pedestal with a specially designed curtain that goes around it, but like that looks like it's only designed to hide things behind it. It's absolutely baffling. Baffling.
Yes. This whole section I like to call Buizel Ex Machina.
I mean, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. Yeah. It's Drive the plot forward, Buizel, please. I'm begging you. So they say that they're fanboying out again, like, oh man, I want to see your show. And then the is it a grandfather character? What's the name of that guy?
Yeah, I forget his name, but yes, the grandfather.
The grandfather character is like, well, then we'll give you a sample. But it's not a sample if it's a performance. That's not what a sample is. You can't give a sample of a performance.
Well, maybe it was, like, it seemed like it might have been very impromptu. Like, they arrived at the show, they found an open plaza area, and like, hey, let's break out a performance. So but
the grandfather's name is Ship.
Ship? Ship?
Really?
Ship.
Wow.
Oh, that is very on the nose for something that's going to happen later.
I know, right?
Oh, my goodness. But yeah, I think sample's the wrong word there. So we get this whimsy scene as we see the gosh, I forgot the name of it already. What is their show called?
The Marina Group.
The Marina Group. We see the Marina Group put on a show, and they have floating balls of water going around, which is kind of neat. That's like a neat idea to have water Pokemon in these floating balls of water.
Yeah, I thought that was actually really clever. Of all of the things in this movie, it's definitely the best idea.
Yeah, and they don't really, I mean, it doesn't really get much play other than in that scene. But then Politoed, during the performance, grabs Pikachu and brings it into one of the water balls without warning. Yeah. So
this is the point I would like to start a tally of how many times the main characters definitely drowned.
Oh my gosh. They were all brought into this unsolicited. Like, they didn't ask for this. And we don't know if, like, one of them might have like, asthma or something, and it's just they don't have a ton of, you know, lung capacity or something, and they suffocate.
Or maybe they have claustrophobia or something like that.
That too. Yes. Any number of things are reasons why you wouldn't want to bring these people into these horrifying psychic balls of water. So apparently the Phantom is just putting ads in newspapers for people to help him find the treasure?
Well, only ads in Team Rocket magazine and other evil magazines that totally get published.
I hope in this world somewhere there are evil magazines. I want to read...
Just you wait. Sun and Moon, Evil Magazine Pokemon.
Yes. I want to read the true... I want to read Nefario, the magazine for the discerning villain. Like, that kind of deal, you know? Like, a GQ for bad dudes. Like, with high-collar shirts and stuff. Anyway, Team Rocket's gonna blow him in. They're gonna call up Captain Phantom and let him know that they're giving this performance, which is it's heinous. It's a heinous thing to do, because wasn't it like you get like a part of the bounty or something, or was it just asking?
It didn't even say that there was a reward. It just said, "Hey, we're looking for this," and they assumed that there was a reward of some kind.
How did they get that magazine published so fast? Anyway,
honestly, I don't think we actually know what like kind of time frame we're looking at between when Jackie.
You're right, because I guess Jackie if it's Walker, I guess it can
a
be
real
assumed.
American hero.
I guess it can be assumed that some time has passed. But anyway, I'm getting way too into the minutia of this. So during the night, May is contacted or just has a vision given to her by the egg.
Because of course Buizel Ex Machina happens and he messes with the curtain
for whatever reason. That is enough to wake it up. So she wakes up in a crazy underwater world, like in a dream sequence, and for some reason her first thought isn't, oh my god, I'm going to drown, and it's instead whimsy, because I think the default state of all these movies is just for whimsy to happen. And she's like, oh my gosh, I'm flying underwater, I guess. She talks to Manaphy in the dream, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If I remember correctly, May has this absolutely horrifying laugh that just shivered me to my core. I was absolutely shook. Then they make pizza by the river. Then Elizabeth reveals that her family is descended from the people of the water, so like this Manaphy stuff is nothing new to them.
Let me say the name, the people of the water. I mean, that is so incredibly original.
Yeah, it's perhaps the most original thing ever. I can't imagine a better name for that than People of the Water. Then Team Rocket gets body swapped when they go to steal the egg. Before this, we get a really horrible egg pun joke. Eggstream. Apparently this is getting swapped around. It's pretty eggstream, which is, again, just translation game really weak in this movie.
For just a moment, I want to mention how awesome a body switch ability for Manaphy would be in the VGC, because you could make it so that Pokemon don't have stab by switching their bodies. It would be so great. Why is this not a thing?
I propose this. Print it. Make it happen.
It's canon.
Very loose canon.
One thing I do have to say about the whole body swap, that the animators took some time in thinking about, you know, how would these characters adjust to their different bodies. You know, Jessie's complaining about how her legs are short and she can't run, and Meowth is just frolicking, this new body's fantastic.
I did think that was cute. I liked that element of it. But at the same time, I'm just kind of like, body swap storylines don't really do anything for me. I think they're kind of lame inherently. But I do like that they revel, or Meowth revels in his full human body, and Jessie has to run in tiny Meowth's body. It's nice. But anyway,
there are two types of people in this world. Those who like body swaps and those who do not.
Oh man, this needs to be a recurring joke throughout the entire for the rest of the podcast.
We'll make it happen.
So anyways, Team Rocket steals the treasure, and they get off there. They take off in this blimp thing, like it's like a pedal blimp, and it turns out, so there's a clown in the traveling water circus, and it turns out that's actually Jack Walker,
a real American hero,
and he enlists the help of a nearby Fero to fly Pikachu up to Team Rocket's blimp and take back the treasure. Or I think at this point we know it's an egg, and they get the egg back, and then Fero pokes a hole in the side of it, and Team Rocket goes blasting off. And for some reason, in this entire scene, there's a ska soundtrack going on. Like, there's horns and rock instrumentation, and it's just... This original soundtrack is so limp in this movie. There's just nothing interesting going on, except for ska.
It's definitely because Jack Walker is a real American hero, yes. And he has to have a proper American hero soundtrack behind him. And, like... For those who haven't watched the movie, Jack Walker is a blonde guy, so like he's clearly not of Asian descent. He's a little bit taller than some of the other characters, and he's got this very American style attitude for people who watch a lot of anime. He's basically everything that is the stereotypical American,
and yet he dresses like a total goober.
Well, yeah, that's the Ranger uniform.
And he talks just like an idiot. He talks like a total idiot.
Because that's the American stereotype in Japanese culture.
It's the boisterous, bombastic attitude, like that kind of deal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he is... I would say he's from... What was it? Unova is America?
Yeah. I'd buy it.
But obviously, they weren't talking about Unova. So, but yeah, he's totally meant to be that action movie hero type character, because anything he does is very extreme, and look at how cool I am.
And going back to him being American and heroic, there's nothing more heroic than American and American than ska music. I think that's basically as American as it comes. I think we should do a ska version of the national anthem sometime. Anyways,
that'd be amazing.
We should get the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to do the national anthem at the Super Bowl or something. I digress.
Jumping to him being a ranger and my issues with Pokemon Rangers, why don't they have any Pokemon? Because what if that Fero just didn't happen to be there?
It's probably out of principle, man. It's a code. You can't capture Pokemon, man. You gotta use them. You gotta, unless they're health.
You gotta force them out of their natural habitat for a moment.
You need consent. Consent's important in Pokemon. Oh god, I'd probably have to cut that. Anyways, I'm not cutting that. So the treasure is a Manifieg, and it's revealed at this point. I don't remember how. It's just in my notes. I don't really care that much.
Elizabeth probably tells the story. Because I have written down, the sea temple cannot be seen by the eyes of a mortal.
Oh, right. So are we escaping at this point? We're in their tour bus, right?
Yeah, because I think they had the conversation about who the sea people were, and that there was the temple, and that Manaphy is the guardian of the temple, kind of, or the key to getting to... They weren't exactly clear about that.
Forgive me for not remembering the finer details of this part of the story. This is, like, 15 minutes into an 8-hour epic, so it just doesn't really... You know, the details kind of fall by the wayside. So...
Right. Before we get to them escaping in their bus, which I have a comment on as well, but... when Team Rocket blasts off, the Phantom actually shows up and wants to try and get the egg as well before they're escaping in their bus. And like I remember, the Phantom like picks up a big rocket with a rock with Jack Walker on it, and he throws it, and he says something about, "Oh, do you take vitamins?" I'm like, "Yeah, he must be beefing up on that protein."
But that doesn't. It's not a joke.
I know.
It's not a joke. This is... Oh, my gosh.
But now I make this point so I can bring up something else that happens at the end, which, again, if you're not paying attention, you miss.
Right. Yes, but, that.
Yeah. And it was in all this commotion, the egg ends up shaking loose, and May ends up catching the egg, which, when I see that, I'm like, can we get her on my Minnesota Vikings receiving corps?
You're doing fine. Sam Bradford put up one of the highest QB ratings you've had in years. It's cool. Don't worry.
That's true.
Pull the game for you.
All right, let's go back to this. This has been the Puckle Movie Club Fantasy Football Minute. I don't know. Anyways, I'm a Bills fan, so everything is suffering in my life.
Sorry.
Everything is suffering. There is no happiness in Mudville. So they're getting away in their tour bus, and Team Aqua Knockoff. Go ahead.
Before they run away, Manaphy is actually hatched at this point. When May caught the egg, that was enough to get Manaphy to hatch.
Oh yeah, and it's a whiny baby. It's a big old obnoxious whiny baby.
Yeah, totally.
Better or worse than Jirachi?
Worse than Jirachi in some ways, because it's just crying, which is like perhaps the most annoying sound a human can make.
Manaphy hatched before Team Rocket even got there, I think.
No, it's right here when she's catching it.
Okay, so Team Aqua Knockoffs chase after the tour bus, and for some reason they have helicopters, but the Pokemon Ranger does not? I don't understand. Like, you gotta imagine the Pokemon Rangers are a government-funded organization that could spare, like, a helicopter, you know?
With all that free health care.
Yeah, he gets all those benefits. Anyways... So pirate guy's back, still saying dumb stuff, and it's at this point I realized that he has belts on his beard.
Look, there are two types of people in the world: those with belts on their beard and those without.
Okay,
and I'm the kind of guy with belts on me beard.
I think we went a bit premature on the Manaphy hatching thing, because so pirate guy's back. May and Max fight him off at one point. And then that's when the egg goes flying and May catches it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Manaphy hatches. It's a horrible baby. And this is when I really started to notice the disparity in audio quality between certain characters' voices. Not in terms of performance, but just in terms of, like, raw mastering and bit rate. It's just some of them sound like they're recorded in lower quality. I was baffled. So the baby Manaphy, or just Manaphy, I guess, thinks May is its mother, and it doesn't want to be separated from her, which is just that spelled obnoxious right away. I knew we were in for some terrible, annoying stuff, because I'm basically over the legendary Pokemon bonds with trainer storyline. Like, I'm done with that. Can we get the Puckle Movie Club seal of approval on stop doing that? Because I'm done. I'm done with that storyline. Stamped, signed, dated. In the year of our Lord 2016, September 20th?
20th. Still, yeah.
We've fully issued the decree, no more bonding with legendary Pokemon. Anyways, Phantom attacks again as they're driving away. Then we make it to the temple, or a temple. There is a temple, or that is
a grotto.
The grotto. It's called the grotto. Yes. Okay.
Now, can I mention something real quick? So they're escaping in their van, and they got these pirates attacking them. Like, these pirates are like shooting bombs at them. They are chasing them down, and afterwards they're calm. They have like, oh yeah, this is just, you know, regular Tuesday. Nobody's freaking out.
You're right. There's just a definite level of calm throughout this entire movie that just doesn't seem right to me. Like, it, we'll get to it later in the movie, but I think there are some reactions that are just really underplayed. They get to the grotto, and temple stuff. These are my literal notes, by the way. Temple stuff appears at the total eclipse of the moon. So what we've learned is that the water temple appears at the total eclipse of the moon, but man, if he can find it, so that, like, that detail doesn't actually matter. Because it's not a total eclipse, right?
Yeah.
They can just locate it. So, like, why would you even have that detail in there if you're not going to find it using that?
Well, apparently it's the only time the eyes of mortals can see it, despite not being able to see it. Which...
There's some weirdness, man. Just... It's just off. This whole movie is just so off. I don't really... Just a general error of weirdness throughout the entire thing.
In fact, you mentioned that, like, this, it's this particular point in the movie where it's like they should start ramping up to the climax. They're in this grotto, or like it's almost like a pre-temple.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't they just dive, like, right at this moment? Why don't they dive into start? You know, Manaphy is going to go right away looking for this. They're going to go, like, this should be like building up to like the last 20 minutes to half hour of the movie right here.
Right. This temple should lead directly to the actual temple. Like, this is all a section in my notes. Watching this, I literally have a squiggly line just saying none of this is important. Like,
it's filler. We just hit filler at this point. I feel like this would have been a decent place for like Manaphy to have been stolen. I don't know. Anyway, I also realized at this point that literally all of these movies are about protecting a location, except for the first movie. This is about protecting the water temple or whatever. Forests. It's all forests and temples and, oh gosh. So Jack says that a Pokemon ranger has to take care of this, and Ash and Co are not going to go along, but then Manaphy teleports them on the boat. But first, it swaps Ash into Jack's body, right? I'm not mistaken here.
Yep, that's correct.
Yeah, that's exactly what.
And does Freaky Friday with them? Yes.
And then he teleports them there.
No, I think what happens is the boat goes back and was like, you know, we really got to have, you know, Jackie's actual, you know, mind in his body to do this.
Now, did I miss that, or did that just?
No, it was totally a transition.
So they just there now.
Yeah.
So that whole a ranger has to do this thing has absolutely no bearing on the overall narrative.
It goes out the window when the mythical Pokemon says so.
Oh my goodness!
And welcome to 5 minutes of completely unnecessaryness.
Just burning 5 minutes of my life, Pokemon. Imagine how many people had to animate those scenes. Like, just, oh man. Okay, so we get Whimsy as Pokemon are swimming alongside the boat and everything. Then we get more terrible banter. Then we get Jack's background or backstory, which doesn't actually play into the story at all. It doesn't really come up again, so it's just giving him more character. But again, he doesn't really do a ton in the movie. So,
nope.
Apparently Jack was saved by Pokemon, and he was always this cool because he was hiking up crazy mountains when he was a kid, which is wild. And then we get easily the worst song in the entire movie, which is just this, like, saccharine tropical garbage mix song. It's just flavorless, bland, pop, marimba garbage. I don't know how to do it justice of how much I hate the music in this scene. At least there's not lyrics in this one, though, so that's cool. Ash goes to jump into the water, and he yells "Let her rip" for some reason, and then says he's a Pokemon Ranger now, which is just, he's not a child. I mean, he is a child, but yeah, you never treat him like a child in this series.
Yeah, not until this moment does he act 10.
So we get some character assassination there, and then we get an underwater swimming scene with May and Ash, which also doesn't go anywhere. They look at each other, and then there's Love Disc around, so, you know, insert shipping comments here. And then
also, I'm sure at this point they've drowned.
Yes, yeah. I mean, May does indicate, like, oh man, I'm running out of air, so she has to go up to the top. But so we get a really just terrible, awkward scene of May in her bunk on this boat, telling Manaphy that she lives it, and it's just awkward and stilted and doesn't make any sense. And they've known each other for like 5 hours, and golly, this is when it started to wear thin. Also, it's worth noting some of these performances are really terrible. Beyond just having the wrong voice, they're just stilted, and lines will just stumble on top of each other and just sound wrong. This like whole scene was delivered in such a stilted manner. It just doesn't make any sense. I'm agony is a part of me now because of this movie. So May and Manaphy love each other, and Manaphy says that she loves May, which is like whatever, I'm done. So then it turns out that May is gonna have to break her bond with Manaphy. And who tells him this? Is Jack tells her this?
Jack tells Ash this. And May is, like, right there, so I'm not sure why he didn't just, you know, tell it to May in the first place.
Okay.
You know, the cliche of talking about somebody that you don't know is there, even though they're, like, literally, like, to your left.
Okay, storytelling thing, or just something that would make more sense. So, Lisbeth goes to console May, right? Like, this is, that's what she does, like, May's crying in that, like, hall or whatever, and then wouldn't it make more sense for Lisbeth's mom to go and then relate to her about being a mother and, like, having to deal with these things as a mother? Because she's a mom. I don't know. That's just me.
Yeah, that probably would have been less flat as a character development thing. Because Lisbeth, at this point, we already know, is a genius about everything water peoples. And it would have been a more personal moment, but instead we have Lisbeth being like, yeah, that sucks. Here's this bracelet, though.
I can't believe how little Lisbeth is a character. Because if you look at, gosh, who's the girl in 2000? Golly.
Oh,
I'm asking for some deep knowledge here, but the girl in 2000 at least has, like, she's like spunky and tomboyish, you know, like she has a character to her, whereas Elizabeth is just so flat and boring.
She is, and that's one of the things that I find really disappointing about this one, is all of the side characters are just terribly flat and, like, one-dimensional. And comparing this to the Deoxys movie from before, like, those characters were great.
Whereas
these ones are just cardboard cutouts that could have been replaced by anything.
I just, even, like, if you look at the villain, like, the villain is so one note, and he, I mean, I guess I kind of appreciate that to a degree, because at least he knows he's evil and he revels in it.
Remember, there are two types of people in the world. People with one note and people that don't wait.
No, I'm pretty sure all of the characters here just have just about one note. Yeah.
Hey, this is Ethan from Puckle Movie Club with a quick commercial break. Just letting you know that if you send an email to pucklepodcast@gmail.com, we will answer your questions. So ask us questions about what we think about movies, tell us what you think about movies, even just send us whatever you're up to. Gmail account is pucklepodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.
Hey, it's Thatch, and I wanted to let you know how you can improve your Puckle experience. First, you can come to PucklePodcast.com, where we have a chat box and forums where you can talk to many other Pokemon fans who also listen to the show. You can keep up to date on the latest Puckle news by following us on our Twitter, liking our Facebook page, subscribing to our subreddit, and following our Tumblr. Don't forget to review us on iTunes, though. It helps us find more people to come and hang out with us, and we can have larger tournaments because of it. And if you're feeling generous, we also have a Patreon where you can donate in return for some awesome rewards. And as always, thanks for listening and for all the support you give us. Catch you guys on the flip-flop.
So we have another whimsy scene, and May's bandana gets lost in the surf, and Manaphy chases after it and gets lost, and then they find Manaphy again, so it doesn't really... They have to go in the submarine to find Manaphy, and it doesn't really do anything. But then they go to the sea. I guess that results in them finding the sea temple, right?
Yeah, that's how they end up finding the sea temple. But, and then Manaphy brings back the headband, and she's all like, "Oh, you care about my headband?" I'm sorry, I'm being mean to May.
No, she deserves it. So they find the sea temple, and then Phantom follows them there, and he has just a really crazy giggle fit, which is...
Yeah. They're surprised he followed, despite the fact that they sensed him on the scanner, or saw him on the scanner, following them. Like, they knew they were being followed, and they're all like, "Oh, it's you!" Like, of course!
Well, so there's an explanation for that, because it's Jackie and, Lisbeth's mom, or whoever, they're on the ship, and they see him on the scanner, where Ash and May and Brock and Max, they're... in a submarine looking for Manaphy. So they are separated in that situation.
Okay.
So Team Rocket stowed away with Phantom in this tube in Phantom's submarine, and then Meowth makes a joke that's really meta, because Jesse says, "Treasure, diamonds and pearls," and then Meowth's like, "Now we gotta wait for the next season."
I missed that one, and wish I didn't, because it's the best line in the entire movie.
It's easily like the best joke in the movie, but it doesn't happen in the universe. It's like a fourth wall breaking thing. It got a genuine chuckle out of me. So the gang
real quick here, it was also around this time that I realized that one, like the main, like the secondary pirate actually has a name. I watched this with the English in English, but I have the English subtitles on. Mm-hmm. His name is Galen.
Okay.
Fun fact.
I think he actually says that in the first scene. I just remember thinking it was weird that they named this grunt. but anyways, so the Phantom just knows how to do all this temple stuff, and they sit back and watch him do it. Is there a reason for this? I must have missed it if there is one.
Maybe, I mean, they might not know how to do it themselves, or like...
But we've already had them access a temple before. Elizabeth knew how to do it at the last one.
Oh, they were just shocked to see him there.
And they just sit there and let it happen?
Yeah, because Elizabeth, like, Ash is ready to fight him, and I guess Elizabeth's like, "You don't do that here." I mean, she doesn't say that, but she, she holds out her arm and stops him, so...
But they're going to... But like, it's inevitable that they're going to fight. It just doesn't make any sense.
Oh, at this point, we should probably mention that this whole thing is to lead up to them finding the Sea Crown, because I don't think we've mentioned this plot point at all.
Right? Yeah, that's what the Captain Phantom's after, which is just such a stupid name, Captain Phantom, man.
Supposedly anyone who has the Sea Crown becomes king of the sea, and Manaphy at some point has been mentioned as the prince of the sea. So I mean, yeah, there's all this very cheesy and lackluster history.
So Jack at this point realizes that something's wrong, right? Like he pieces together, or did they get into contact with him? I don't remember.
So Jackie was on the ship. Mm-hmm. And he saw Phantom following them, so he was like, "I'm gonna get it." I think he brainwashes a Mantike this time.
That's right.
And then Mantike helps bring him down there.
Now, Mantike's my favorite character in this movie, because he makes some amazing noises. He just is like, "Oh!" I don't know how to describe the sound he makes, or I don't even know if I could replicate it, but he's like, "Oh!" Oh, sorry, I'm slap happy. It's just so late. Anyway, Mantike's the best character in this movie for sure. So turns out so they get to the Sea Crown, and it's like not necessarily a crown, it's a bunch of jewels like inside of this I guess like altar thing, right?
Yeah, that's a good explanation. And it's like surrounded by this cool water thing that Manaphy just like dives into immediately.
Right. Which is, I mean, if I was a water Pokemon, I'd be in the water all the time.
Yeah.
But so it turns out, Captain Phantom takes one of the gems or whatever out. And it turns out the Sea Crown was booby trapped. And water starts flooding the temple.
Yeah, it was either booby-trapped or that was a load-bearing crystal that he pulled out. I'm not sure which.
I think it's the
core of the entire thing, because, you know...
I guess it is magical, so...
Yeah.
I kind of figured it was a booby-trap, but I guess you're right. So...
They're these, like, three-foot-long crystals. They're not, like, small things.
Yeah.
It's really stupid. I just think it's like, you can... I just don't get what they were going for with that. I
guess it was somewhat crown-like.
Sure, I guess. I don't know. Maybe I was dumb for or I was personally just wrong in assuming it would be a literal crown, but anyways.
Yeah, maybe it's just a metaphorical crown.
So,
yeah.
So he pulls the pieces out, and it's like Ash and Co. have to reassemble it, and Jack confronts Phantom at the top of this temple. And gosh, this is where it becomes just a wash for me, because it was a mess of action and
It starts flooding and Ash, May, and the crew flee because they're like, "This is bad, guys. Let's go."
Right. So at the...
now, what I don't get is how is something that's already fully submerged in water, how can that start sinking?
I guess it's flooding more than sinking.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, I think they used the word sinking, but they probably meant flooding.
This dub, so I wouldn't put it above it. So, Ash and May go to reassemble the crown, and they're missing one piece, which is Captain Phantom lost earlier. Like, it fell out of his hand and onto this water slide thing. And
when he was fighting the real American hero.
Yes. we need a counter for how many times that happens this episode. So Ash puts May, Manaphy, and Pikachu into a tube, like the tube that Team Rocket was in earlier. And I think that's just hilarious.
Yeah, because they're running to try and get back to their sub because
it's flooding.
It's flooding, and they're totally not going to make it back after it's Ash manages to find the one crystal remaining that had gone down the water slide.
So here's the thing. He has to make this heroic save where he's swimming underwater back through the temple to make it to the crown.
Right.
And you know what would have been really, really helpful there? Perhaps a water Pokemon. Yes, like exactly.
Yeah.
Any sort of Pokemon.
At this point, before he goes swimming, he's playing Ash Assassin's Creed, running along the top banisters as though, you know, he couldn't just swim and it would be faster.
He's really nimble.
He is. He's amazing for a 10-year-old. Yeah. I was never that balanced.
The hand-eye coordination and just his motor skills are so strong for being 10. anyways, so he puts the last piece in. Oh, go ahead.
He totally gets rid of a water Pokemon.
Which is... this happened earlier, too. Like, there was an instance where it's like, do any of you have a water Pokemon? As May is holding Manaphy in her arms.
Yeah.
So dumb.
So he leaves them in this tube. They get flooded over, and May and Pikachu and Manaphy are all like, this is awful. I hope Ash is okay.
He drowns.
Ash drops the crystal and it falls down and gets stuck, so he has to swim all the way to the bottom. He gets it free and at that point just drowns.
He passes out, and then Manaphy using the power of friendship or whatever, the power of hope, revives Ash from afar, and then he manages to put the last piece in, and then everything is cool. Everything's cool, as is the nature of Pokemon movies. And this is where I thought the movie should have ended. What transpires is so wrong in every way. So Captain Phantom steals Manaphy one last time, and he's like, I can find the temple, whatever, who cares, because Manaphy can lead me there. And then, out of nowhere...
So basically he pointed out the point that you pointed out just a little bit ago. It took the bad guy to realize that they don't need the full moon, they just need Manaphy to find it.
Right.
Yeah.
Or the eclipse moon, I should say.
So he comes out of the water in a he takes Manaphy and rides away on a jet ski, and then bam! Out of nowhere, the worst thing in the history of the Pokemon franchise happens. Ash goes Super Saiyan. Now, I've heard this referenced time and time again, and I was waiting for this moment, and it was worse than I could have possibly imagined.
Oh, I loved it.
I love it. It's just so wrong in every way. Nobody's fazed by this, by the way. Nobody, like, it's like, oh, it's Ash, as he's flying around in this glowing energy yeah. bubble, and man alive. It's
and one of the worst. I don't exactly remember the line, but one of the worst moments. He's the king of the sea.
Oh my! How many things is Ash now? He's a
savior.
That's
what I was gonna say.
He's the king of the sea. He's everything. This kid's 10. Oh my god!
By the next movie club, I will totally send in an email with a list of all of Ash. Please, Ash's titles.
Please do. I'm begging you. It's like, and then and the next one, it's gonna be like. He's transcended being a mortal man. He's become a god.
He is Arceus himself.
Oh my goodness.
Now here's the thing, guys, this is what I'm wondering about is, I mean, really, while Ash is there and while Ash is usually the main protagonist, why isn't May doing this? I mean, really, this movie is about May and Manaphy, right?
Right. Well, it seems like they want it to be that, but they never commit to it hard enough, and when they do it's just poorly written.
So, I mean, and maybe they're, I don't know, granted, this was almost a decade ago back in 2007, so maybe they weren't as forward-thinking at that time, but, you know, instead of Ash, you know, there being the hero, they should have had May step in and do her thing, because this movie's about her.
I think that, if you look at, Forever? No, wait, which one's Jirachi?
Wishmaker.
Which is it for? Whatever. Jirachi Witchmaker or Wishmaker. Max doesn't really get that much to do either. I think they don't want to commit a movie to a side character for whatever reason, and it just always comes off as done half-heartedly. They just don't really go for it. So Ash has become his 80th different type of savior. He's mankind's one true god now. And then Kyogre shows up, which seems so wrong.
Yeah.
They're just throwing everything in now. Kitchen sinks in this movie. We got Kyogre. We got Super Saiyan.
Do we know that Max has seen it before? Because he's just like, oh, it's Kyogre. He's not even shocked. Like, this is a legendary Pokemon.
Oh, it's Zeus.
Yeah.
Anyways, and then Phantom is riding on top of a submarine, which is great. This is when the movie got me back in, which was when this pirate man is riding on top of a submarine and there's just hate in his eyes, and it's amazing. And then Kyogre does some agile stuff, and then there's like a isn't there disturbance in the Pokemon or whatever, because they use
they basically mimic Supersonic on a huge scale using the submarine, which I thought was really actually one of the other clever things in this movie was utilizing Pokemon's moves and abilities via technological means.
It makes a lot of sense because, you know, sound waves will affect them the same way that if they could just mimic that ability, that makes sense, but...
Two-hour movie, two good ideas.
Yes, one per hour. That's all you need. And then, having learned from her mother this ability, Manaphy sings to calm down the Pokemon, true to the spirit of its upbringing, as May has done in the past, hummed her way to the end of the film.
She has too, because it's not the first time she's used humming music.
Nope. Yeah, it's just a long story to history of humming with May involved, but they call it singing again. They call it a song or whatever. They say that Manaphy's singing calm the Pokemon. And apparently, this is my least favorite line of dialogue in the entire movie. And like, Manaphy singing calm the Pokemon. And then May says, the way only Manaphy knows how. As if this is a thing Manaphy's done before.
Yeah, I
you
know, right?
And the whole, you know, 3 days it's been alive.
What? What is that? I'm done. I'm out. I can't take no more. This is so rough.
Yeah, so this entire action scene is just this blur of Pokemon moving and hitting the sub, and it's so not like.
Sorry, guys. It's just this is really. This, oh God, this was at the end of an hour and 45 minute long movie, and I these things are supposed to be fun.
Yeah, other than the amazing. Water flying Ash in his yellow beams of water. There's nothing particularly noticeable going on that
I do have another thing. I do have another thing that I really liked.
Oh?
Which was Manaphy riding a Kyogre and then having it use Hyper Beam. It's Manaphy! And then it did Hyper Beam.
Is this Pokemon's version of jumping the shark?
It's going Super Saiyan. No, it's piloting the submarine. It's any number of things. It's just wrong. Everything is wrong, and it's just so many wrong things compiled into one movie, and it's soul crushing.
Speaking of crushing.
Oh yes.
So apparently the sub is somehow starting to fall on the Phantom. I forget exactly how that happens. And it turns out that we find out that he's wearing a mecha suit. That's why he was so strong before. It wasn't that he was beefing up on proteins. He's wearing a mecha suit.
Which I'm down with. I'm down
and
with that.
I'm not. How does this add to the plot? Why is this necessary? Why does he need to be strong?
This is the least of my concerns. Here's the thing. He holds up that submarine for like 30 seconds and then he gets crushed. So like it doesn't really factor into the rest of the movie. Also, is he dead? Because
we do see him again. We see him in the credits.
I didn't watch the credits. I was so done. Everyone goes Super Saiyan now. Everybody gets Super Saiyan powers. May's flying around Super Saiyan. Ash is. It's a nightmare.
Yeah.
So then Manaphy has to go away with the temple because, you know, gotta go be a part of the sea. And May and Manaphy get a little goodbye sequence. But for whatever reason, Max is the first one to say that he's sad about Manaphy going away. Even though I'm pretty sure he never interacted with Manaphy in any meaningful way. He's saying, oh, I hope we get to see Manaphy again. That's my Max impression. And
it's spot on.
And then it takes a bit for May to react to the fact that Manaphy's gone. Like, she's in the background of Max's scene, just kind of chilling. Oh, man. And then
Manaphy does say May's name.
Right. Yeah, Manaphy can kind of talk. It talks like baby talk. So that's the movie.
Can I say the final line?
For sure.
Because I think Ash, being the gentleman that he is, he asks May, "May, are you all right?" And she says, "I'm not all right."
Oh God.
But I will be.
What? That's not a resolution. That doesn't.
And that is the movie end. Now, I remember last time we were talking, Ethan, that in the Lucario movie, like, Ash had that cheesy line about Lucario living in us all. This is almost as bad as that line.
This is worse.
I think they're equally terrible. I don't want to pick sides. It's like a Benny and Veronica situation. It's like, how do I pick which one's worse? So that's Pokemon. That's Pokemon Movie 9.
Let me.
Do you want to go through? Do you want to go through the epilogue? Yeah, go for the epilogue.
It opens the ending credits with something straight out of Windows Media Player. You know when you play songs and you just leave Media Player full screen and it has like the little circles that'll appear. It was totally that. Wow. And then Ash and them leave. the after getting, okay, so they get back into port. Ash and them are leaving where the circus crew is going, a different place. Jackie, the real American hero, is helping Officer Jenny arrest Captain Phantom, so that's where we see them.
Mm-hmm.
Then later, he's up in a mountain and he throws, or no, we see Zapdos flying through the mountains, and then we see the capture circle thing go around it, and Jackie jumps on top of the Zapdos.
No, he doesn't. You gotta be kidding me.
And rides off into the sunset.
I'm so sad I missed this.
He ends the movie in a way a real American hero only can.
Wow.
Only way it could be better if it was a braviary, which didn't exist at the time.
That is correct. Then we see Ash and them at a camp having a conversation. Team Rocket was stuck inside a Waylord because they didn't drown to death, being left behind in the temple. I need to mark them down as drowning too. And then the camera pans off towards the sky, and the final credits start popping up. It is the most terrible ending sequence of any of the movies that I've seen.
Thank you for sitting through that and taking notes, Locke. At that point, I'd given up.
So. I really, you're doing God's work.
If not for the flying on a Zapdos, I wouldn't have bothered to tell you about it. But it was so bad.
I'm so happy you suffered for this podcast. Let's give ourselves a quick round of applause, really quick. We did it.
And also, again, any listeners who actually were able to sit through and watch this movie that was entirely long, give yourself applause, folks.
You're wonderful.
There are two types of people in the world. Those who deserve applause and those who do not.
This movie certainly does not deserve applause.
No.
So let's get right into this. Let's get the criticism out of the way. This is the worst one.
Hang on, do we want to do any? There's a small bit of trivia from Bulbapedia. Do you want to talk about that real quick?
There's one that I want to hit on. You can give the rest, but I've got one here, which is this was the first one dubbed by Pokemon USA, and the only one dubbed by TAJ Productions. Wow, did they drop the ball there? This is rough. Like, the translation's rough. It's amazing that they brought it in-house and had Pokemon USA do it, and it's got worse somehow. Was it 4Kids doing the dubbing previously, I believe?
Yes, 4Kids.
And that's just, it's... How did you get worse than 4Kids? How did you do it? I don't understand. Okay, that's it. That's my comment on that. You can go ahead with the rest of the... trivia.
Sure. Yeah, not a whole lot here, and it's really just frivolous facts, but I'll bring them up anyway. Manaphy is the only Pokemon shown in the anime to use an attack before hatching from its egg. Manaphy is the only anime Pokemon that was hatched from an egg that hatched in a movie rather than a normal episode. So basically the only one that's hatched in a movie. And Manaphy is one of three Pokemon that can actually use human speech without using telepathy. And the other ones that use human speech without using their minds to do it are Meowth and Slowking.
That's what I was wondering. I was wondering which other Pokemon can... Because, I mean, obviously Meowth. And I was actually kind of shocked when they gave Manaphy human speech for... I didn't... Maybe it was to drive home the baby thing, I guess?
I think so, yeah.
Give it
a few years to grow up and, you know, come into its own and whatnot, and then it'd be using telepathy like everyone else.
I got another piece of trivia that stuck out to me, which is that it's the first time Ash turns his hat backwards in, like, several seasons. They definitely made a big deal of it that he was flipping his hat backwards. And, you know, like, I feel like a lot of the things in this movie could have been cool. There's just concepts in here that are all right, but the execution is so lackluster. Let's get right into it now. Let's get that criticism going.
All right.
This is the worst movie that I've seen so far. I just loathed it. How did you guys feel about it?
in initial watching with my kids, which again, that was about 3 weeks ago, I just kind of let it play and I wasn't really paying attention. I was like, hey, this is okay. I mean, we got, you know, the Pokemon Ranger in here tying into the Pokemon Ranger games. This is kind of neat as far as that goes. But sitting down to actually for an hour and 45 minutes for this movie, what I think the biggest issue that I think they had with this is they tried to follow a logical progression. Like, okay, we are at this grotto now. Now that we're at this grotto, we have to get on the ship. And now that we're on the ship, we have to go search for Manaphy. And they try to put in all these logistical steps for a kid's movie. If you just say, hey, we're hopping on a boat and we're going to go find the Temple of the Sea, that's enough for a kid's movie, guys.
Especially, like, when the previous movies in the franchise haven't been terribly dense. Like, this is far and away the most complicated one. Like, if you look at the summary of this thing, I couldn't actually use the summary for this when we were recording because it's so dense. There's so much garbage going on in this movie. There's oh my goodness, I'm just not. It's way too long, too. An hour and 45? No, thank you. Like, I thought, yeah. I always thought, like, the hour 20 mark was the sweet spot for these movies. Because yep. it feels like an elongated episode at that point, and they're never going to put the effort into making it, like, a full movie. It's never going to have a full movie's worth of story and be compelling if it's an hour and 40 or an hour, like, even 35. Like, that hour 20 mark's where they should be at.
Yeah, they had plenty of things where they were re-going over the same thing. May noticed the Manaphy egg at least three separate times. They told the story of the water people once everyone knew that that was the Manaphy egg, but then they retold the, like, you could give all of the details in a single sitting instead of having to, quote-unquote, discover new things when you're in the grotto. That whole grotto thing didn't even need to happen.
Just so much exposition. Yeah. Like, I just, it's a complete mess. It just stumbles the entire time. Like, I don't know if there's a moment in the movie. I don't know if there's a 5 minute period in the movie where everything works. It's basically a mess the whole time. Yeah. Anyways, I are we kind of in agreement here? Like, let's just go through. I hate it. What about you? What about you? What about you, Snag?
Usually, I'm pretty forgiving with these movies because I'm like, okay, they're for kids. They're for kids to be entertained. But oh god, this was bad. This was really bad.
Yeah. What about you, Locke?
Well, when I watched, because this was my first time watching it, I was really into it at the beginning because of Jack. And then it just slowly got to a point where I was only half paying attention up until they got to the temple.
Mm-hmm.
And even half paying attention, I knew that there was still way too much going on for no reason. And while at least in action, this one is better than Wishmaker, the overall arc, I think, is significantly worse. So I don't hate it, but I'm definitely not going to watch it again.
I'm sorry if I come across as harsh for this thing. And I do generally try to give these movies, like, the benefit of the doubt and give them some leeway in terms of, like, I'm not going into these things expecting high art, but it's just misfired in basically every way for me. And like, the ideas that are neat in this just don't get developed in a way that I'm satisfied with. And I just gave it more criticism because I felt like it needed to justify that hour and 45 minute time. You know, it's, if you're gonna have me sit down for an actual film length film, you better bring the heat. And they didn't, and I was not pleased. But anyways,
I do give them credit for capturing Buizel as a Pokemon, his personality in all of its minute of screen time.
Yes, he is very inquisitive and he was curious, and it was cute while it lasted.
It was like a water cat, like a cat, yes. But that's mm-hmm. actually comfortable in water.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's exactly the personality of an otter. Very intelligent.
Outgoing. But,
yes, yes. And I like otters, so
I just Captain Phantom is a Scooby-Doo villain at best, and it doesn't really get an arc. Nobody
pull
really
off his man old man ship.
I don't think anybody changes throughout the course of this movie, even though they overcome obstacles. Like, I don't think anybody, like, May didn't have to come to terms with the responsibilities of being a mother. She just was ready for it. Anyways, I think the depths have been plunged there in terms of criticism. Do you guys want, I got an email if you guys are ready for that.
Yeah, please. Yeah. I'll say, speaking of otters.
Yeah. Speaking of otters, we have an email from Uncle Oshawott. So
a real American hero,
the proper American hero who
I'm actually not 100% sure he's American.
He always walks out to ska, which is important. He opens his door and ska booms. So he's here, he's there, he's everywhere. Who are you gonna call? The Uncleist Oshawott. Hello, everyone. Uncle Oshawott here for another email. Pause and yells off stage. Yo, which movie are we doing again? Oh, that one? Well, kids, I know I promised you a fairy, but it looks like I need to tell you all the nightmare. So, the Manaphy movie, where to begin? To start with, I don't think this is actually the worst movie. It actually is one of the better ones, which that's not you can't say things like that. Because that could only mean it's downhill from there.
I don't know if we can trust Uncle Oshawott's criticisms anymore. But anyways, go on.
Your opinion's just as valid as mine. I don't have any sort of prerequisite knowledge that you don't. Except for the villain and the third act and the flying Ash fireball. Silly Ash, Z moves don't come out until Gen 7. Okay. I don't know if you guys witnessed this, but I just got hip to Z moves today. And I'm stoked because Eevee gets a really dope C move. I digress.
Pikachu's the dance is caramel dancing.
What's that?
I'm sure that you've seen it at some point. They have caramel dancing. It's a song with like a little dance that people on the internet have made, like every anime character ever do the dance in GIF form.
I'll have to get hit.
Yeah, no, it's totally caramel dancing, and I didn't notice it until the second time I watched through so that I could see Eevee's Z move without my manly tears of excitement.
I'm really stoked on the Eevee, but because, man, dude, two, it boosts every stat by two, like that's crazy. Okay, so let's start with what works in this movie. Lol, not the CGI. That's for sure. For starters, yeah. I really like the connection between May and Manaphy. I think I can agree that's definitely one of like the stronger ideas. Whether or not it's well executed is up for debate. They go together like M&Ms, but seeing them need to separate is far more emotional than any of the anime episodes of Ash losing a Pokemon.
The episode where he either releases Butterfree or the episode where he almost releases Pikachu is the most heart-wrenching moment in the entire anime, and I don't care about anything that happens afterwards ever.
This isn't just a Pokemon leaving its trainer, it's a child leaving its mother, and I would agree that that's definitely like more emotionally impactful if it was done better and didn't come across as so wrong and gross. To add to this, as I never knew how May left the crew, as I never watched the anime. I never knew how May left the crew, as I never watched the anime. So throughout this movie, it made me wonder if May would actually end up staying with Manaphy. Crazy, right? A Pokemon movie making you question how a plot point will turn out? Sound the alarms. The end times are near. Well, anyway, that's what worked in the movie. Now let's talk about what didn't. Lol, the CGI. Do you ever just look at some piece of art and begin to cry? Not because the image is sad, but because it makes you sad? I got pretty close towards the end of this podcast. like that art grad that spends a week making a portrait of you and ends up being a stick figure? That's the CGI in this movie. I hate the pirate boat. It's in CGI, its design is horrendous, and the whole thing brings this movie from a solid 75% to a 65%. What
wow,
even
just
are
on
these
the CGI?
That's a. I remember that time
the
that
CGI
Roger
was
Ebert.
Bad.
Remember when Roger Ebert totally destroyed that movie because the CGI was bad? I digress. They are the what even are these villains? Villains. They are the definition of a static character. They add nothing to the story. Their background is non-existent. They show up basically out of nowhere, pretty much to be the bad guys. And really, really, you have a water-based team in this gen, in the gen this movie was made in, and you make up a group of pirates to be bad guys? Dude, where is my Archie? I mean, come on. The movie has freaking Kyogre in it. Freaking Kyogre. Well, sorry that
you... Did you notice that they didn't have any water Pokemon?
I didn't even, like, make note of the Pokemon they actually had. I was...
They had all bug types.
And and Phantom had a Chadot as well, which eventually abandoned him as well.
I kind of liked him having Chadot. I thought that was cute.
I did like that.
You know, wouldn't it have made sense... never mind. I just kind of imagined like this must have been Team Rocket at one point, and they kept the bug type Pokemon in or something. Anyway,
do any of you have a water type Pokemon with you?
Hey, does anybody get a water poke? Anybody at all? Like just looking around, there's like a Squirtle out, Manaphy's out, whatever. Sorry that turned into
it's Oshawott that we're.
I mean, he definitely has a water type Pokemon on him. Well, sorry that turned into a tangent, just like this movie, am I right? But So with that, I will take my leave. In conclusion, I rate this movie a Cacnea. It's a pretty solid movie, but it's no Maractus. That's an interesting rating system. I can get down with that. Anyway, love the podcast. Keep doing what you're doing. Have a wonderful day, Ethan and co-hosts. He wants you to have a wonderful day, guys. P.S. Hey, how was Puckle 250? Oh, you didn't go? # roast Ethan.
I wasn't there either. It was great.
You know, I'll keep taking the roasting as long as I keep getting some healthy support for Puckle Movie Club. This is my baby now.
Yeah.
I'm not your rival anymore.
No,
it's been broke. Your curse has been broken.
What made you make this decision? I was thinking about this earlier because I still owe you an Eevee badge, and I can't actually give badges on the website anymore. It seems.
Bosifus made the same claim that you did in one of the Puckle chats, and because of that, your curse was broken.
Do you want to catch the audience up to speed on what that is?
Okay, so. I became Ethan's eternal rival right around the time X and Y had released because Ethan talked about how he hated Doctor Who. After that moment, I sent in a mailbag saying that I was going to be his eternal rival forever, and I was rival lock for a very long time until I became Hexmaniac lock for the Summer League 1 year. Just recently, Bosifus said that he hated Doctor Who and thought it was garbage, and at that moment, the curse was broken and shifted onto Bosifus. So he is now my eternal rival.
I think I still owe you a game of Street Fighter V, which I don't actually own yet because I don't have money for Street Fighter V. Anyways, that was Puckle Movie Club. Thank you guys for helping me out with this episode. Thanks for tuning in, listeners.
Of course.
I
will watch any trashy movie to be on this podcast with you, Ethan.
You know, that's the sweetest thing you could have said. I really appreciate it. Next time, I'll tap you in on something a little bit more palatable, though. How about that?
Say, what's the one next one on our list? It would be the first Diamond Pearl one, is that right?
Yes, that would be Pokemon Movie 10, which I have to quickly look up which one that is. It is Pokemon Movie 10, Rise of Darkrai, which I have not seen. We are in uncharted territory once again. I don't think I've seen any of the movies after this.
I remember seeing this one. If I recall correctly, this is one of the better movies. So just as a heads up going into this next one, this one is pretty good. And if you folks are looking for a place to watch it, if you subscribe to Hulu Plus, I believe this movie, as well as the next few, are on Hulu Plus. So
we got some hot pointers, some pro tips. Yeah, thank you for that pro tip. Just a heads up, there will be a Puckle movie night in October. I can't commit to a date yet because my life is so busy. I work in a field to where I don't have weekends ever because I'm always shooting things on weekends. So I will try to find a weekend that I'm not busy, and we will have a proper Puckle movie night. It's been far too long, and they're always a really good time. And I will give you news on that as it develops. So yeah, thanks again for tuning in, and thanks you guys for co-hosts. I've been Ethan.
I am Professor Snag.
And I've been Hexmaniac/Rival Locke.
And from deep inside the ruins of Alf, it's closing time.
It's closing time in Lavender Town. Time to say our goodbyes. It's closing time. Farewell, my friends. I'll catch you on the flip
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.